from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspik. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspik, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes, Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. Coming up on today's show, we'll talk about the Giants' two wins over the weekend against the Oakland Athletics, Giants pulling back to 500 and gaining a couple of games in the wildcard standings. The A's were red hot. They had just taken 3 out of 4 from the Astros and then swept the Yankees in a 3-game series. So those are the two best teams probably in the American League. And so the A's were playing extremely well, and the Giants go in and in back-to-back games come from behind late in the game and win. So huge wins to pull back to 500. Giants are 65-65. They're 20 games out in the National League West, but they are in second place in the division. Giants are, as I said, just 4 games out of a wild card spot, of that second wild card spot. And everybody ahead of them lost yesterday. That second wild card spot is currently held by the Cubs, who have a 1.5-game lead over the Phillies, and the Cubs are 2.5 games back in the division. So the Cubs are going to hold that spot for at least the next couple of days. So that's the team to be watching to see how they do if the Giants are trying to gain ground. The Cubs actually play the Mets in New York starting tomorrow. So that's a big series because the Mets are behind the Cubs and ahead of the Giants. So they can hopefully beat each other up a little bit and the Giants can attempt to gain some ground. But anyway, getting into the games themselves, the Giants were off on Friday. Totally bizarre. I can't remember the last time I've seen the Giants be off on a Friday. But on Saturday, it was Madison Bumgarner against Chris Bassitt. So the Giants had their lefty lineup in there. Vogt was DHing. The A's got a couple of runs against Bumgarner in the first few innings. Were able to tie it up at 2 in the 6th. But then in the bottom of the 7th, Yandel Gustave gave up a couple of runs. It actually took the Giants 3 different pitchers to escape that 7th inning. Gustave started the inning, allowed a double. Then there was a sacrifice bunt, and then a single, and then another single, and then in came Fernando Abad to face Matt Olson, who singled. And then Sam Coonrod came in for Abad, and he got 2 outs. So it could have been a lot worse, but as it was, the Giants trailed 4-2. The bullpen just continuing to look shaky. That was looking like it was going to be the story of that game. But the Giants totally flipped that narrative on its head by having an 8-run top of the 8th inning. It actually started with a lineout by Stephen Vogt, and then the Giants had 7 straight batters reach base. Posey singled, Dickerson singled, Longoria singled. Then in came A.J. Puck, who is a big, imposing left-handed pitcher with nasty stuff, a really premium prospect for the A's. And Brandon Belt was due up, and there were runners on 1st and 3rd, the Giants down by a run. So it was a huge at-bat in the game, and I thought at the time they should pinch hit for Belt with Austin Slater. And as they came back from commercial break with A.J. Puck in to pitch, that is exactly what Bochy has done. So nice to be able to have that option, because it's no disrespect to Brandon Belt, but A.J. Puck is a really tough, nasty left-handed pitcher, and you just can't afford to have a strikeout there. And also, you can just easily see Belt hitting a weak ground ball against a nasty left-hander like Puck. So in comes Slater, who falls behind but then takes some tough pitches and ends up being a wild pitch that gets away, and Dickerson is able to score. That ties the game, and then Slater ends up drawing a walk. The A's then go to a righty in Lou Trevino for Kevin Pillar, who hits a double down the right field line. Donovan Solano then singles. Brandon Crawford then singles. So all of a sudden, the Giants have a 7-4 lead. Ryan Buchter, the lefty, comes in to face Yastrzemski, who strikes out. He had a really rough game. I believe he went 0-for-5 with 4 strikeouts. But then Stephen Vogt hit a home run to left field that just capped the crazy inning, 8 runs scoring in the inning. The Giants led 10-4, and that was basically all that it took. Sean Anderson, who was activated off the injured list prior to the game, with Andy Suarez being optioned back to AAA. He came in with the Giants up 10-5 and definitely did not look sharp. He didn't have his command. He walked two batters and gave up a double. But the Giants were able to avoid any further scoring, and that was the final score, 10-5. So it was a big come-from-behind win for the Giants. And coming into Sunday, it was Brett Anderson, the left-handed pitcher on the mound for the A's, against Logan Webb, making his second major league start. So the main storylines from this game were Donovan Solano having another incredible game, Buster Posey having another awful game. So we're going to talk about his production and the third spot in the lineup where he continues to hit on a daily basis. Evan Longoria had a good game. And then the bullpen actually came through. So we're going to talk all about that and breaking down this game in the second half of the show. The NFL season begins next week, which means Crossover Wednesday will be back. For the entire regular NFL season, you will get a special episode every Wednesday as the hosts from opposing sides meet up to preview the excitement of the games happening that week. Find your favorite team wherever you get your podcasts and be sure not to miss the NFL listeners' favorite segment. We talk about baseball performance all the time on this show, but what about performance in the bedroom? That's right. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew is the first chewable with the same active FDA-approved ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know that they work. They can be taken anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Yes, I actually know someone who has tried this product and they have extremely positive things to report about its effectiveness. The best part about Blue Chew is that it's prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So there's no more visit to the doctor's office, waiting at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness around this topic. Blue Chew is made in the United States and prepares and shipped direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit www.bluechew.com and get your first shipment free when you use special promo code MLB. Just pay $5 for shipping. That's it. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code MLB, and try it. It's free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. Okay, as promised, here in the second half of the show, we'll talk about Sunday's 5-4 win over the A's that brought the Giants back to 500 on the season. Before getting into it, just want to underscore again how the Giants being 65-65 through 130 games is just a tremendous accomplishment no matter how the rest of the season unfolds. You know, there were some predictions, people out there before the season started saying that they expected the Giants to be 500, but I'm not going to buy into giving those people credit because the team that started the season is a very different team than what the Giants are now. So unless you predicted Alex Dickerson was going to show up, Mike Yastrzemski, Donovan Solano, Steven Vogt, Kevin Pillar, then it's not really fair to say what we predicted at the beginning of the season had any merit on what the season ended up being like. So based on the group that they started the year with, my prediction was that they would go 72-90. And that was kind of right in line with some of the projection systems that were out there. So they've really sustained playing pretty well ever since the first couple of months of the season. They're 43-31 since June 1st, with a plus 39 run differential. They're 34-23 with a plus 48 run differential since the day Alex Dickerson debuted. So it really is just a tremendous turnaround for this team, and on a given night, they give themselves a chance to win, and that's exactly what we saw against a really formidable opponent in the A's over the weekend. So Donovan Solano, as I was just saying, a guy that nobody could have expected to produce at the level he has this season, went 4-for-4 in the game yesterday, his second four-hit game with the Giants this season. He's just been a tremendous asset to plug in for starts against left-handed pitchers to give the middle infielders a break. He went 4-for-4 with a walk, by the way. Logan Webb was not nearly as sharp as he was in his first career start. He allowed two home runs, both to Mark Canha yesterday. Only made it 4 2/3, allowed 6 hits, 2 walks, 2 strikeouts, and 4 earned runs. Giants had taken an early lead with a double from Pillar, and he ended up scoring on a shallow sac fly with 1 out. So I've talked all year about how Love the aggressiveness with one out trying to score from third on a sac fly, because the chances are the next batter is not going to be able to get it done, especially because you need a hit or an error at that point. You can't score via the sacrifice fly. So I love the aggressiveness there trying to score. And he made it. The throw was a little bit weak and it was a little bit to the right of the catcher. And so it was just enough time for Pilar to slide in there safely. Longoria hit a solo home run in the third inning that tied the game at 3. With the Giants down 4-3 in the seventh inning, Buster Posey came up with the bases loaded and no outs. And the A's went and got Blake Treinen, who's a very nasty right-handed pitcher. So a lot has changed with Posey and what Giants fans think about him, because in that situation, he is not the guy the Giants want to see up in that situation. He's hit into a lot of double plays this season, and I think the Giants were lucky that he ended up striking out in the at-bat. It was a long at-bat. He fought hard, but he ended up chasing a pitch way out of the strike zone for strike 3. And in the game, he went 0-for-5 with 4 strikeouts, and he grounded into a double play. So the Giants have not gotten a lot of production out of Posey this season. He's been about 15% below average offensively. And so I just don't necessarily agree with the idea that they just continue to plug him right in the heart of the lineup. I think if he batted 6th or 7th, that would be a much better spot for him that matches up with his skill level right now offensively. It's no disrespect. I mean, the man deserved to be hitting in the heart of the lineup for the vast majority of his career. But at this point, it's just not happening. And the Giants have gotten some of the worst production out of the third spot in the lineup across all of baseball. Thankfully, though, Longoria hit a single to left field that scored 2 runs after the Posey strikeout and gave the Giants a 5-4 lead. But then with one out and runners on first and second, Mike Yastrzemski attempted to steal third. Longoria followed behind him, and he was thrown out at third. So the Giants just continue to make outs on the bases, and I'll reemphasize that making an out at home trying to score is better to me than making an out at third. With a 5-4 lead in the bottom of the seventh, the Giants had to lean on their shaky bullpen, and Reyes Maranta pitched a clean 7th, which was great to see. No walks, no base runners. And then in the 8th inning with a 5-4 lead and Matt Olson due up first, the Giants went to Tony Watson. And I do think that after seeing what we've seen from some of these other bullpen guys, I'm going to have to re-elevate Tony Watson. I was happy to see him in there because, especially against Olson leading off the inning, you know, Watson is a proven guy and a lot of these other arms are not proven right now. And so I think you have to rely on Watson and kind of live or die with whatever he can give you in the late inning mix. He was able to have a perfect inning with 2 strikeouts, so that was great to see for him. They really are going to need him if they want to make a run here in the last 30 or so games of the season. So then in the bottom of the ninth, Will Smith gave up a hit but ended up pitching a scoreless inning. Tying run got to second base with 2 outs, but ground ball to Crawford ended the game and the Giants pulled back to 500. So every game becoming huge at this point. It was Bochy's 4,000th game as a manager, which is, I believe, 8th on the all-time list. So congratulations to him. What a career, and it is winding to a close here with 32 games left in the season. The Giants tonight will take on the Diamondbacks in game 1 of a 2-game series. Lots of 2-game series this year. Very strange schedule this season. 2 games against the Diamondbacks, and then they're off on Wednesday, and then they play a 4-game home series against the Padres that will take us into September. So it'll be Tyler Beede on the mound for the Giants and the left-handed pitcher Alex Young on the mound for the Diamondbacks. We'll be back with another episode tomorrow talking about tonight's game. Remember, to get this show every single weekday, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. On this show, we provide daily episodes, Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. Once again, my name is Ben Caspick. You can follow me on Twitter, @Cove_cast. If you like this show, please consider rating it, leaving a review, and telling your friends and family to check us out. I cannot wait to be with you again tomorrow, and until then, we'll see you next time.